It's only a couple of months since Bridget McKenzie became the Nationals' deputy leader. She won the position after a vote against, among others, Mark McCormick. Today, Mr. McCormick was elected Nationals' leader and therefore deputy prime minister in the wake of Barnaby Joyce's resignation. Roderick Chambers asked Dr. Peter Chen, senior lecturer in politics at the University of Sydney, why Bridget McKenzie was not considered for the leadership given her apparent popularity over Mr. McCormick.
One of the things is most of the people who were sort of eligible to run have extremely low profiles. So it wasn't a huge kind of reservoir of leadership aspirants that were well established in the party to make a run. So you'll recall that she actually only recently became the deputy leader because her predecessor had to step aside, who's much more impressive kind of figure. So the Nationals are actually led by some relatively inexperienced people. So if you take Michael McCormick as an example, he's now Deputy Prime Minister. He steps into a really big portfolio, which is, you know, infrastructure and transport. That's a really important portfolio for the Nats. But he comes out of Veterans Affairs and formerly in small business. They're pretty minor outer ministry kind of portfolio. So he jumps straight into cabinet as leader. So that's a pretty big step up. And it kind of shows you that the Nats haven't done a very good job in cultivating a talented and high-profile team in recent years.
And would David Littleproud, who has even less experience or profile, have similar but amplified problems as a leadership candidate?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I think McCormick is an interesting choice because he's a slightly older kind of guy than Littleproud, and Littleproud is, I think, someone to watch in future years. But again, you know, none of these people are really well known. So there's been, you know, a lot of sort of stuff floating around in recent, last week about, you know, Michael McCormick and some stuff he said during the kind of 1990s about HIV and things like that. And that's because actually he hasn't made much of an impact on people in the kind of last decade.
How come Matt Canavan wasn't mentioned at all? Because normally he's fairly much front and centre when it comes to National Party issues.
Yeah, Matt Canavan has, you know, problems of his own with regards to the citizenship issue, and I think that's kind of taken a dent out of him. But I'm not sure because he brushed that off towards the end of last year. But maybe he's considering his future. I think that's kind of an interesting sort of point you make.
What do you think the backbench is going to look like now with, Barnaby sitting with Tony Abbott and of course, you've got George Christensen there as well, all be chatting on the back. It's, you know, are they the sort of people you want sitting behind you as Prime Minister?
No, not necessarily, but I think the Prime Minister has been extremely frustrated with members of his own backbench, but also with his coalition partners, right? And so one of the things that sort of is an undercurrent of this is that Barnaby Joyce hasn't been very effective at keeping his team in line. He's got a lot of loose units that have been very high profile in the way in which they've been undermining the government in many ways. And obviously the example is George Christensen, who did make a run for the leadership here. And so I think Turnbull might be hoping that a change in leadership might see more discipline in his coalition partners. He's in a difficult position. And I think one of the things that we need to keep in mind is it was very clear that Turnbull did leave the country and leave a pistol on the desk of the Deputy Prime Minister with the kind of implication that he shouldn't be there when he got back. And he has managed to kind of, quote-unquote, pull that off. So some people would say that Turnbull has a complex relationship with the coalition, but he certainly has managed to pull off a change in leadership and certainly freed himself from a figure that ideologically is not very aligned with in terms of Barnaby Joyce and Barnaby Joyce's sort of orientation, but also in terms of politics has caused him a fair bit of difficulty above and beyond the most recent stuff about the, you know, misuse of expenses, relationships with local businessmen, and obviously breakdown of his marriage.
And do you think that now the Prime Minister is going to get some clear air, or is it just the beginning of even more problems and
a bit of a downward slide? You just cursed it there. by saying it. Every time a member of the media says the Prime Minister is about to get some clear air, something happens. And so the Prime Minister would be hoping that he will now finally get some clear air, but we've said, will the Prime Minister now get some clear air about 562 times since the last election? And every time that occurs, or every time people say, it looks like the Prime Minister might be on a bit of a roll, then something jumps out. And certainly he must be incredibly frustrated at the lack of discipline in both his party and his coalition party, and so his inability to strike any hits in terms of policy wins or being able to attack the Labor Party. And certainly the Labor Party's key weakness remains the lack of popularity of Bill Shorten.
Dr. Peter Chen, Senior Lecturer in Politics at the University of Sydney, ending that report by Roderick Chambers.